Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. I'm Diane Thomas, your host, and we are continuing our series on tithing versus giving. Last week we were talking about how tithing and giving, what that has to do with our true identity, our new nature. And when we now talk about, not to open up a whole other can of worms, but when we talk about sin now, we will probably be doing a whole other series on what that means for us as spiritual beings, as Christians. We are no longer sinners saved by grace. We were that. But your new nature does not have anything to do with sin. Now our problem is when we are not living out of our new identity, basically hypocrisy. When instead of living as an overcomer, we live as a victim. Instead of depending on God for wisdom and developing our own judgment, we rely on our temperament or our own belief system. So when we are living contrary to our new nature, that is our new downfall. That's when we develop flesh. That's basically our sin, is not living outside of God's life, but living as if we were outside God's life. When you were a non-Christian, before you were re-spirited, you did not have any choice but to live out of your own strength, your self-life. But now you have eternal life. It is not only available to you, you have it. You have received eternal life. You've received a new identity. You are now a spirit being. And everything related to spirit is not just your heredity. It's not something you have. It's who and what you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. So to continue to live as if that were not true, that's the hypocrisy. For us, that's our sin. And we don't want to use that same word. That's why we try to make a distinction in many areas, because there is such a confusion. There are many words that, because they hold two very different meanings, it's brought confusion because we don't have those separate meanings. Like flesh. Flesh has the most basic meaning is sarx, is our physical body, our physical being. But that's also been used to describe the soul life, the self life, apart and independent of God. So these are, and when we confuse the two, we will come away with believing lies. So this is another area, the whole idea of sin. Sin does no longer apply to you and I. You were a sinner saved by grace. But once you were saved by grace, you were no longer a sinner. You are now a saint. You are now holy and righteous and omnipotent and omniscient. And everything that God is, you are. Now, people also take that kind of concept, which is not new, and they forget about the soul life. And they use that as license to do whatever they want or to justify what they're doing, rather than understanding that the day before and the day after you become a Christian, you have the same soul. The soul, again, consists of mind, will, and emotions. And it's the same one you had before you became a Christian as after. Now, everyone's situation and circumstance is different. Very often, at that point of salvation, or during that first day, God is perfectly capable and often does a mighty work in freeing our soul, exposing lies, healing wounds, providing encouragement and motivation. But that's on a case-by-case basis. So we don't use that as a means of determining identity. The temperament, the way God put your mind, will, and emotions together is the same the day before, the same the day after as the day before. The spirit is what absolutely changed 100%. There's only two kinds of people on this earth, those that are dead in their spirit and those that are alive. This is why we spend a lot of time differentiating between the spirit and the supernatural, or for us personally, individually, the soulical. Because to attribute spiritual characteristics to something that is not spiritual will lead us down the wrong road every single time, will confuse the issue, will have us believing lies, will make us victims of whatever, of history, of our enemies, of our own soul. And you are not a victim. You are an overcomer. In Christ, you overcame both the world and the devil 2,000 years ago. Our struggle is with the self-life, the flesh. Jesus never developed flesh. He always depended on his Father. And that's the example he sets. Because he did not overcome flesh, because he had never developed it, that's our fight. We can enter into the victory in overcoming the devil. We can enter into the victory in overcoming the world system, peer pressure, time constraints, the spirit of this world, the demonic strongholds that exist. But we cannot enter into victory over our flesh. So that is where our real struggle is. And guess what? Our enemies want us ignorant in that area. Because then they too have an inroad into controlling us. And really, it's all about control. And how many times have we discussed in talking about tithing and giving where we have given up control over such a huge part of our lives to an inherited belief that tithing is something that God wants us to do. When if we look, you know, we're told that and commanded that and saying if you really want the windows of heaven to open, you just need to tithe. You know, and if you give to God, he's obligated to take care of you. But we never research that for ourselves. And we've been talking about why that's, what are the consequences and why those consequences are so damaging. And last week we were talking about that not giving God's way is contrary to our new nature in God. It reinforces our hypocrisy. You relying on the whole concept of tithing keeps us from being who we are. So when we talk about what we do with our finances, if we can develop that habit of turning to God, and that's what it always comes down to in whatever area. You know, this is just one topic. We're not going to be going from subject to subject and wanting to learn everything and share everything and discover everything and know everything there is about God. That's not our goal. That's not our task here on this earth. Our goal is to develop the habit of turning to him first and then having the confidence that we have heard him, heard his voice, through experience and testing. And very often it's that testing that people skip. Well, you know, if it lines up with Scripture, it must be true. But if you'll remember, the devil is just as good at using the Scriptures as anybody. So that's not good enough. Excuse me. Is God alive? Is he sitting next to you? Can he speak for himself? So applying that challenge to this task, there may be a time when God says, no, I want you to give a tenth of your income to this ministry, to this church, to this fellowship, to this whatever. But you're not tithing. Don't ever think that you're tithing when you respond to God. Quick recap. Tithing is number 83 or something on a list of 200 things that you must do in order to please God. Not have a relationship with him, but make him happy. You cannot take one aspect of the law out of the law and say that if you do this one, you'll please God. When God has says, no, you have to do all 200. And there's actually like 683. And tithing is just one of them. So to say, to take one aspect out, and if you say, well, that's the one that has the promise attached to it. If you bring all your tithes into the storehouse, watch and see. Take out the numbers and the chapter breaks and the section breaks. And what you have is one long list of requirements to be done in order to receive God's blessing. And to not do all of them excludes you from the blessing. And the point is to show you that you can't do that. You can't do them all. And trying to do them all, even God's blessings, will not make up for the strain, the effort, the work of trying to do it ourselves. So last week we were talking about how that there were two reasons the decision to tithe or not is a big issue. First, a lot of time, effort, and manipulation is being used to get God's people to donate money, regardless of the need. And I'm sure you'll agree with that. How much time in any teaching, in any ministry, when you are enjoying a ministry, a teaching, a speaker, you know at some point in time, odds are, not always, but odds are, at some point in time, they're going to ask for money of some kind or another, become a partner. Now, here's the thing. That's perfectly acceptable. It's the way it's done and the response of the people. Because you and I have not learned to say no. You and I have not learned how to hear God for ourselves. So we respond to the request. Sometimes that request is perfectly in line with what God wants done. But if we respond to the request and not to God, we are not giving according to our new nature. When we go to the movies, you expect you're going to buy a ticket. You know pretty much how much that ticket's going to be, and you pay for it before you go in and enjoy the movie, whether you enjoy the movie or not. You've paid your way. And sometimes I wonder if that expectation shouldn't be applied to our Christian events. That understanding that whoever is speaking has normal needs in whatever building, and there's practical needs involved with any ministry. That would so undermine the manipulation effect, the factor, because then nobody would be worried about tugging at your heartstrings. Nobody would be concerned about, you know, how am I going to meet my payroll? How am I going to be able to pay the people who are helping me run this ministry? But see, that relies on Christians who know who they are and are able to hear from God. Now, a lot of Christians don't want you to be able to hear from God, because then you wouldn't need them. You know, that's why there's a whole separate language, Christianese, which we try to stay away from that religious jargon. But we want to be learning to depend on God for who we support and how we support it. He's going to be doing some shake-up in that area. And I especially think the whole nonprofit thing is going to go by the wayside. Whether the qualifications change or whatever. And we will see what happens to so many, both supporters, you know, that give because they can get a tax break, or the ministries that are being supported by them. So, second, financially supporting something God isn't blessing can actually delay God's discipline in another's life, work, or ministry. Just like what we were talking about, if you are easily manipulatable, or even not so easily manipulated, but somebody is a good speaker. I mean, we vote for people just because they can speak well. You know, why don't we give money to them? Yeah, we do. That's not their fault. God will deal with them. your responsibility is, why are you so gullible? Why? What are you using as a standard to evaluate your decision making? Can you hear from God? And if you can, then do it. You don't need anybody else to agree with you. God wants to develop your judgment and your confidence that you are hearing God clearly for yourself. Yes, that's why we have testing, and that's why we have over time and understand that God is bringing us into a variety of relationships and situations for us to learn to know Him. It's not so we can handle the situation correctly. It's so we can have the confidence that we're hearing His voice. We are preparing to learn to rule and reign now. All we have is now, and we are to learn how to rule and reign over time. Which brings us to the third point. Not asking God what to do with our money, whether to give, whether to support, whether to not give, what to do with our money, whether to spend it on something or not. Not asking God first is ignoring His sovereignty in our lives. Now, sovereignty changes for those of us who are getting to know Him, because we know that in our spirits, we are also part of that sovereignty. In other words, you already know what God wants you to know in that situation. You already know what He wants you to do. You already know what the purpose is. You are already in full agreement with everything He wants to do in that situation. So you are already one in His sovereignty. There's only one right way to do things, if you will. And you are doing it. But spiritually only. Our soul and our body are in the process of lining up. And that's what we're working out. But so not asking God, not allowing your soul to be lined up with your spirit ignores that sovereignty, ignores the right for Him to speak to you about these issues through your spirit, saying, okay, I've got this one covered. I know what to do here. I just tithe, or I just give, or this, or that. Now, there may come a time when He says, every time, this is how I want you to handle this, every single time. But very often, He's going to say, you know, come to me every single time that you think you pull out your checkbook. The point is you simply make yourself available. You keep your ears open. For those that have an ear to hear, we've all got ears. It's not the ears, it's the hearing. Are you hearing? By not even asking Him, we are rejecting Him as God in that area. We are strengthening the hindrance between our soul and our spirit in any area in our lives that we don't turn to Him first. Now, you're going to be the one, you and He will be the ones to decide what area He's working on. And very often, if you were to, say, join a group or a Christian group or a church, and you had some real obvious outward sin, let's say cigarette smoking, people, you know, consider that a huge, tremendous sin, and you can't smoke and be a Christian or whatever. And people say, well, the more you mature in Christ, the, you know, you'll overcome that. Well, God's not concerned about that. He may have that way down the list. That may be 123 on his list. Your job is to deal with what he wants to deal with at any given time. It may not be conducive to new relationships, because this is where we have these ideas about who should be doing what. What's a good Christian look like? What's a mature Christian look like? But we'll get over those two. It's part of the process. You're going to have to learn to deal with criticism. No matter what you do, you're going to displease someone. So you might as well accept that now. You're not going to be able to please everyone all the time. And you shouldn't want to. So let's get over that. And you don't need to please God. You've already done that. So we're no longer about pleasing someone or anyone or God. It's about having that confidence, hearing from him, knowing that whatever situation you are in is the one he is training you through. We're no longer about accomplishing something, building the kingdom or maturing spiritually, or, you know, over, you know, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Those are all secondary aspects, or what other people may describe, what they see in you. What it will look like to you is working on the tasks God gives you, developing the habits that strengthen your spirit-soul communication, and enjoying your time here. We're here for a short season, relatively short season, but he has given you everything you need for life and godliness. You have right now. What does life and godliness mean? That's for you to find out. What is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing God. What is that? What does it feel like? You're going to have to experience it for yourself. Allow God the opportunity to reveal that to you, to stir up a hunger and a thirst for simply knowing him, the simplicity of being with him, and being able to rest, and that trust that he will have you ready for what's coming down the road. You don't need to strive or struggle or to be at the right place at the right time, the center of his will, having learned the right thing. What's God saying to the church today? None of that is the way God's going to change you. It is seeing him face to face now. And what that means for you, he alone can tell you. So our job, what we look at here, is helping you and encouraging you and motivating you to learn to hear his voice for yourself. And this whole financial stuff, this tithing stuff, is simply a really practical way that has bound us so many. And when we're in this kind of an economic downturn, it completely distracts us and cripples so many, even Christians, from being able to hear him. These things are easily overcome when we understand what we do first. You turn to him first. Simple questions. Lord, what do you want me to be doing now? And he tells us, and we do it, and we go on to the next thing. And then we will be ready for whatever comes tomorrow. So we'll be going into that more depth as we progress down the road. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Any questions, just drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. It's always good to hear from you. Have a great weekend.